The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, we return to the package of measures announced last night by the government in response to those self-same fuel protests. We're joined now by Martin Hayden, Minister for Agriculture, Food, Fisheries and the Marine. Good evening to you, Minister. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Ciara.
Something here for the hauliers, the coach operators, the farmers, the fishermen, the agricultural contractors. The government has caved, haven't they? You've caved to the protest. Might is right.
No, not at all. So, look, we had our first intervention at the end of March in terms of the €250 million intervention, which was a direct intervention in terms of excise. And we said very clearly then it would be the first intervention and it was very unlikely to be the last. From my own perspective in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, I would have recognised that there is a very limited amount of excise duty on green diesel by its nature, so we were quite restricted in what we could do on that. So that 5 cents a litre cut was never going to be enough on the agriculture side to support our farmers, our fishers, and on the food production side of things. So I was continuing to work on a package. There are a lot of technicalities to that. We've never had a direct support for our contractor sector before. I had established a working group which I was working through. I had meetings over Easter the week before the protest started when the dole had risen. I met with Farm Contractors Ireland, with the IFA, to work through those challenges while I was trying to put together proposals for an agreement. But for the general public as well, the very important reason that Cabinet signed off on a €100 million package for our farmers, our fishers and our farm contractors yesterday is the same reason we signed off on a package of €140 million for our hauliers, for those who deliver freight, school transport and beyond, because the logistics of how we move our produce around the country and as an exporting nation, as well as the cost of food, if that gets beyond the cost of production and those...
Yeah, but Minister, if you were doing so much with these packages, how did we come to see the country brought to its knees last week?
Say again? Sorry.
I said if you were doing so much work behind the scenes on supporting people and engaging with people, how did we see the country and why did we see the country brought to its knees last week?
Oh, well, like on the farming and the agriculture side, I was just making the point that the schemes I was designing is the first time there's been such an intervention, so it can't be done overnight. I'd said clearly that I envisage other interventions there, but farmers hadn't seen it. People are out there seeing, you know, contractors, hauliers and others were seeing massive increases and spikes in their energy bills. And we're really worrying, like, you know, from the agriculture perspective, this is the most intensive period of the year for the use of green diesel as we head into a very busy silage season and then followed up very quickly afterwards with the harvest for cereals. So in drawing up that, they hadn't seen that, you know, and that is the truth of it.
And it wasn't conveyed to them that this was happening because, like, as an ordinary person, I don't fall into the category of haulier or farmer or any of those things. It seems to me that everything has been done to I suppose, give the protesters what they want, although they say it's not enough and it's only a small thing. But ordinary people who are still paying high prices at the pumps and high prices for their home energy heating bills, we didn't get much here, did we? Should we go out now as ordinary people and start protesting?
So the phrase ordinary people would jar me a little bit, but can I just make the point here with the greatest respect? You're not a farmer, but I'm pretty sure you eat 3 meals a day. I'm sure you're like everybody else. You order your stuff online that gets delivered to your house. You go to the shops to get stuff that is delivered by hauliers to those shops and beyond, like every ordinary person in the country. If the price of food production increases to such an extent as does the cost of delivering all our produce around the country, that has a direct impact on inflation. So there is a strong economic argument for supporting our farmers, our farm contractors.
Okay, well, in that case, because you're saying you didn't cave.
Impact on everybody else, and that's
you're saying you didn't cave, although from the outside looking in, it looks like, as I say, might is right, that the protesters got they achieved their aims through their protests. If there's a strong economic argument for doing what you're now doing, if that's true, why wasn't it done beforehand? Why did it come to this? Because this doesn't make sense. You can't square that circle. Either the protests work and you caved, or there's a strong economic argument and you should have done it anyway.
No, because like there are technical parameters here that we have to operate within. We have the EU Energy Directive, which we need dispensation from Europe for. There was really intensive negotiations with the EU Commission. I have state aid rules in which I have to operate within. And, there's an element of trying to respond in real time while Europe wanting it to be a whole of European response. We have moved ahead of Europe, and I have to square that circle.
And that is because of the protest, Minister.
No, that is because of the fact that people needed this intervention now. And they needed it.
So it's not because of the protests. You decided to do it this week, not because of the protests.
Oh, look, of course, recent days, in terms of the work I was doing, I've worked all weekend. I've been in government buildings all weekend. I was getting to this point. We were waiting. We were working with Europe, trying to get the approval there. But there is no doubt that part of the reason for these protests, part of the reason for the critical mass of people joining this, is because the very real concern that hauliers, farmers, contractors and others had around how they would pay their bills. So, the fact is, this is on the agriculture side the most intensive period of the year for use of green diesel. The system farmer contractors were looking at and were saying, farmers aren't going to be able to pay our bills. The banks won't continue to be able to fund us like they normally do. So that was coming to a pinch point, particularly on my side. But just back to your point around the ordinary individual listening who's not a haulier or a farmer and doesn't feel that intervention has any impact for them, I strongly believe it does in terms of avoiding the cost of living inflation crisis. There was the further 10 cent reduction on the price of diesel and petrol, which cumulatively now shows a 32 cent intervention on the price of white diesel per litre and 27 cent on petrol. And like anybody who either has a car, who's listening to this program, driving home from work, or is dependent on transport, will benefit from that reduction as well.
Minister, the US are currently blockading the Straits of Hormuz since 3 o'clock this afternoon to now stop Iranians from being able to ship oil to China or elsewhere, that what they've been doing. The fuel crisis, the global fuel crisis and the global fuel shortage is about to get worse. The government has just spent 750 million euros, three quarters of a billion, to stay in power, really, isn't it? Because you were losing control of the situation. And later on in the year, because this is going to get worse internationally before it gets better, what do we have left in the tank to protect people? And when they go out in the streets next time, what are you going to do?
So the intervention of three quarters of a billion euro by government is to support people.
You spent a lot of money from the National Exchequer to support people. And we know things are going to get worse. We know this. We know that every day that Strait of Hormuz remains closed, things get worse. And now there's a double blockade on it. So things are going to get much, much worse. What do we have left in the tank?
So, Ciara, we will be going into the budget with a smaller surplus than would have been the case by having this intervention. But my point to you is, if we allow inflation to run away due to the energy costs, there will be a cost for that as well. If we allow haulier companies and farm contractors go to the wall, there will be a very significant impact on that in terms of the amount of farmers who depend on farm contractors to be able to carry out that work and to provide the food that the country needs and beyond, and never mind for the overall economy here. So these interventions are for very good reason, and supporting people with the price of diesel and petrol. Look, we see the ebbs and flows. Obviously, this is all driven about by the energy shock from the war in Iran, which the government does not control. So let's be clear and honest about that. If you look at the price of crude oil last week when the ceasefire came into place, it dropped significantly below the highs of over $100 a barrel. If there hadn't been blockades on fuel getting to forecourts, people would have seen a natural drop in that. That would have made a difference. We obviously saw the talks break down over the weekend. We see the blockade today, but that is ebbing and flowing in terms of that conflict. And where we will be in 2-3 months' time, 4 months' time, you can't say and I can't say. I agree with you that the challenge here in terms of the energy challenge is very real for us. Our interventions here have been timely. We've been able to have these interventions on a bigger scale than anywhere else in Europe because we've managed the economy to the extent that we have and that we were.
There's an argument you're no longer managing the economy. You're reacting to what people are saying and doing.
But hold on now. Like, sorry, people are going around accusing politicians being out of touch, but reacting to the challenge that there is in people's real lives here in real ways. So, like, you paint as a very cynical intervention here. Like, I clearly understand the impact that farmers, farm contractors, the hauliers, individuals driving their car listening to this program right now have had with the energy spike. We have had interventions here that, you know, are to come in and help people through this period. And from my perspective...
All right. The slow-moving convoys that were out on the roads again this morning, are we going to see more of that, and is that going to be acceptable?
Well, what I would say to those, like, you know, definitely this morning, and I heard some members of the opposition completely ignore the fact there's €100 million package for farmers and just want to try and pretend it's only a couple of percent reduction on a litre of green diesel. So where people aren't being told the truth, obviously that is going to be a challenge. So my job here is, what I'm doing with you is explaining the package that there is for the farmers and the contractors, for the hauliers. Government will continue to do that. And I would ask people who are considering to protest to reflect on that, to examine the proposal that's there, and if protests continue beyond that, then to reflect on
What are we going to do? Because everyone, you know, is up in arms about what Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan did during the week, saying that the defence forces were going to be deployed, and great debates about whether or not that hardened the situation. But at some point, is the government going to say enough is enough? We've given you all this money, we've made the interventions that we've made, and you're going to stop holding the rest of the country to ransom. People trying to go to work this morning and bringing their kids back to school were delayed for hours on certain important primary routes.
There were, but we also saw the illegal blockades over the weekend be cleared, and I want to commend the Gardaí for those interventions, that when the blockades were finally cleared on the critical infrastructure in terms of the ports and the fuel depots and beyond, they were done with very little, you know, physical intervention, and that was a testament.
There were threats made against Gardaí. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, that's completely wrong. Look, what I will say to you, Ciara, is I absolutely, as a Democrat, fundamentally believe in people's right to protest and have their voice heard. And I would passionately fight for anyone's right to say that they disagree with me and to argue the toss with me. But there's a very big differentiation between that and between blockading or, you know, stopping people going about their daily lives in terms of our motorways, our critical infrastructure, and any threats to our Gardaí or anything is not tolerable in any way.
Was Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan's intervention when he said the defence forces would be deployed, was that unhelpful?
What I would say is the civil power are the Gardaí. There is the mechanism there through the C-70 system for the Defence Forces to be asked as an aid to the civil power to...
I'm aware of all of that. Legally, he was on sure ground. But was it the right thing to do at the time?
Of course, it didn't need to be used to that extent. And look, absolutely, everybody has responded to this in real time in terms of utterances everyone makes in interviews, in terms of the actions we take.
I'm unclear. Was he right or was he wrong to say what he said?
From the perspective of the Defence Forces, we have seen the Defence Forces being there beside the Gardaí over the weekend.
Everyone is aware of that, Minister. I'm asking you, was the Minister for Justice right or wrong in saying what he said?
Well, he's the person that has the operational information in dealing with the Commissioner as to whether that requirement is there or not. So
I notice you're not saying he was right.
No, but look, I think, you know, it was very unfortunate that the statement was issued in terms of the impact.
So it was wrong and unfortunate.
So hold on. With hindsight, Ciara, with hindsight, I can say here now that it was unfortunate that call was made in terms of the statement, and yet they weren't then used. So it absolutely had the effect of having an effect on those who were protesting, who felt it was heavy-handed or wrong, and then they weren't deployed in that space. But I do know they were there on hand over the course.
All right, we'll move on. The head of Dublin Town has said,
I don't have all the information at hand in terms
Minister,
of
Minister. The head of Dublin Town, Richard Guiney, has said O'Connell Street should never be allowed again to be closed for such a prolonged period of time. That it wasn't right. O'Connell Street was kind of given up to the protesters with barely a murmur. I mean, there wasn't that many vehicles on O'Connell Street. They could have been moved on. O'Connell Street could have been reopened days earlier than it was.
So what I would say to you is, it is easy with hindsight, whether we're talking about the statement that was issued around the aid to the civil power with the Defence Forces, whether it's about O'Connell Street or any other of the critical infrastructure. And these do all need to be reflected on, and government will discuss this and debate in terms of the response when such actions happen. But I would just say, you and I can discuss this here now with the benefit of hindsight. And when you're responding...
To be honest, at the time I thought it was mad that O'Connell Street was closed with a small number of vehicles.
And that's fair enough, and that's your perspective. But what I would also say is, we can also say that and just ignore the fact that nobody got hurt in the protests when those protests and blockades were de-escalated. So, you know, I'm sure if there was a member of Garda Síochána on here now, they might argue the point that working through the trees...
A couple of other things quickly. Minister Patrick O'Donovan has said he wants a probe into the media coverage of the protests. Do you believe that the media was biased in how we cover the protests, national media?
No, at the end of the day here, it was a very unique scenario in terms of protests, where you had individuals leading the charge who on the one hand said they wanted to negotiate and deal, and on the other hand said clearly that they didn't actually have any influence to stand people down. Media gave those people coverage because they were leading the charge. I don't know, it's a very broad statement to make, whether it is across the board or not, but I do think no more than government will reflect, and Garda Síochána will reflect how they responded. I do think reflection from how the media reported these things is important too, because, you know, absolutely fundamentally...
You're not really saying whether or not you think there was any bias involved.
No, but I think we should reflect on it and look at it. I think it's very hard to do when you're in the heat of the fire right now, but I think as it dissipates, there absolutely should be a reflection on that. I don't disagree to that extent.
And a probe.
But on the basis that, you know, people's right to protest, absolutely fundamentally agree with that. But there is that difference here where, you know, people's actions in terms of stopping other people...
We're not really answering any of the questions that I'm asking. I'm asking about the probe into media bias. Do you believe that there was bias? Are you going to answer it, or will I just move on?
No, I'm saying clearly here that no more than we will reflect on the security response in government, that the Garda Síochána will respond to that. I think a reflection on how media have handled it. And obviously, there's hundreds of media interviews done, so it's a broad area to look at. But I do think we should look at it, Jess.
All right, last question for you. Do you expect the government's confidence motion to pass? Do you expect that you will comfortably remain as is?
Yes. Yes, the government will...
Some of your independents appear wobbly.
The government will propose a motion of confidence and will strongly and vigorously defend that. Sinn Féin seemed to wake up from their holidays on about Sunday and all of a sudden lay down this charge. They believe it's appropriate that critical infrastructure in the state, like refineries and others, are blockaded. This is a party that has an ambition to be in government. I think that's very worrying, because I think that's very different to people's right to peacefully protest and have their voice heard. Yet Sinn Féin are calling and criticising us for doing things that they aren't doing in the north where they're in power. So we look forward to that debate tomorrow.
Minister Hayden, TD, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ciara.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.